listening to the Louder Than Bombs podcast, episode 5, but it's a part 4 of our little series about the top 5 albums of 2010. In this episode, we cover the only album that all three of us, Ryan, Andrew, and I, Paul Herman, agreed upon. So it was a lot of fun doing this, and I hope you enjoy it. So on with the show.
So what's your next album, Andy?
It is the LCD Sound System album.
Yes.
And I've been a fan of this band, you know, for the last few albums. I certainly agree that All of My Friends would be one of the best songs of the decade and Someone Great. And all the other songs, you know, they're fun. And yeah, it's just exciting, fun music. And so with this one, I was totally pumped about it. And when I first got it, I was actually a little bit disappointed through my first few listens. But as I kind of kept with the album, you know, just kind of kept listening to it. And the more I just want to go back to it, just with a song like Home, that song is one of my very favorite songs of the year. It's right there with some of those Marnie Stern songs. I just everything I love about them with the, it's like the Talking Head, like the Remain in Light Talking Heads era, where you take one thing and then you layer it over another thing and it comes in little by little, instrument by instrument, and it builds and builds and builds, but there's like hardly any change. Some people don't like that about it, but I love that. I get hypnotized by it. Hmm. And so I'm totally a fan of, I know they have a little bit of the hipster thing or whatever, like it's a little bit presumptuous sometimes, but just the fact that they're just happy to make, you know, a certain kind of dance music. It's just, I don't know. I keep coming back to all their albums. And so I thought it was a great album.
Andy, I'm going to have to say, you're in the minority on this one, bro. Like, this album sucked.
It was awful.
All the sounds are so cheesy. I can't get into it at all. And his voice is awful, I think.
I felt like it was a... I definitely felt the Talking Heads thing. And I love the Talking Heads.
As do I.
But I felt like they tried to sound like the Talking Heads, but failed badly.
Are you guys fans of the other albums?
I have actually never listened to LCD Sound System before this. I've been meaning to, but now I'm refreshing what I think about them.
That's crazy.
No, I think their songs aren't awful, but they're just not that great. And the instrumentation's just boring to me. There's nothing interesting about it at all. His voice is generic to me. The instrumentation is, like I said before, simple. Lyrics are just, eh. It's just nothing there wants me to keep going. I just keep going, next song, next song, next song. I can't do it.
The interesting thing about his voice, though, it's different on different songs. Like, on All I Want, he almost sounds like Bono. And then, like, on other songs, he kind of has, like, a Morrissey flavor to it, and it's just, like, it's all over the place.
I actually can see that. That's a good point, Ryan. Excellent point.
And, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I didn't feel like it was, like, an album that flowed very well. You know, some songs I did kind of like. I was like, oh, this song's kind of cool, you know? And then other songs I was just kind of like, wanted to listen to a couple minutes, and I was like, I can't do it. And then, like, oh, sweet, it's a Devo cover. And then it wasn't. I was kind of bummed out, but...
Devo rules.
I wonder if you guys, if you had more experience with their other albums, if you would have felt... Because everyone that I've heard talk about this album... Well, I've never heard a negative review of the album, but until what you guys are saying. But,
wow.
That's why I listened to it, actually. I listened to it before Andy picked it, before I even knew we were doing this. Because it got so many good reviews, and I was like... And I think that might be part of the reason I didn't like it as much, is because it was, like, pumped up too high. And so my expectations were really high. And then I listened to it, and I was just, oh. It's not as good as everybody said it was.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Again, I think part of the reason, though, is if you have a history with this band, they've only done 3 albums. This guy, like, the singer, he's, like, in his 40s. He's got this whole history of, long history of being involved with music, but...
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of different bands, it looks like.
What other bands has he been in?
Well, no, he started this label, DFA. He's known for starting the punk dance combo, like the Rapture.
Oh,
groups
I
like
hate
that
band.
Well, all these groups, they all started where they mixed punk and indie rock with dance music in New York, and he's one of these guys. This is, like, most people say this is the weakest of their three albums, but they still love the album. Like, their second album, The Sound of Silver, I mean, you have to hear that album. It's amazing.
Andy, for you, I will give them one more chance, but only for you.
You have to listen to All My Friends. It's, like, the best song of the whole decade. All My Friends.
Ryan, have you heard this album?
Yeah, I listened to the whole album, actually. I actually listened to it twice.
The one he's talking about.
Sound of Silver.
Oh, no. I have not listened to that album.
That album is... There's some annoying songs on that one. Like, none of their albums are all the way consistent.
On this album?
On any of their albums, really.
Oh, I see.
They're hit or miss, because they're just out there. There's one little side note. The first song on the album, Dance Yourself Clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it starts really quiet and then it gets really loud, that song?
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs this year was Kid Cudi. Actually took that music, like, exactly, and he did a, you know, just like whatever, he did a hip-hop song out of it. It's really cool. You can't buy it. It's whatever, they put it out there on some mixtape or something on the internet, but...
That's kind of cool.
Kid Cudi with that song is very cool.
Awesome. So what songs do you want to pick out for this album?
That would be... Home, which is one of my favorite songs of the year, and All I Want.
Have agreed upon this year, and that would be with the National High Violet. Ryan, tell me why the National's High Violet is in your top five.
Because that band is amazing. Anything they put out is going to be in my top five.
Yes. I don't think the National is capable of writing bad music. I'll be honest. Maybe I'm biased, but I think whatever they do is always solid. Always great. And I don't know if it's because they've been a band forever, you know, and they just have a great chemistry and they just have an intuition playing together that will always be good together, but they just put out great, solid music. It's a band that I love to talk about because they've been a band forever, and they weren't successful until two albums ago, and they had already released three before that. I mean, they had some minor success with Alligator, but... Even before that, they had two albums. They've been around for, like, you know, 8 years probably before the album came out. And I don't know. I think High Violet is the same thing as all the other albums. It's the same kind of formula. It's not the same formula, but every album keeps getting better. And this album is just, I think, a progression above Boxer. And the songs are a little more, I don't want to say mature, but they've got more dynamics on them. Whereas Boxer's is, I think, a really straightforward rock album, I think High Violet is the album where they go all over the place dynamically, which I think works so well. It's such a great album. Ryan, go ahead.
Well, I actually like the Boxer better, but a lot of that has to do with, I mean, I really like the instrumentation sound on the Boxer because it was just, like, really clean and crisp, and I was kind of expecting more of that. And then on this album, it's a lot more layered, and there's a lot more, like, overdrive and distortion on it, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I, you know, the whole album is just amazing.
Did the different kind of tones kind of throw you off immediately? And is that why you didn't like it as much as Boxer?
No, I think it's kind of like I think it's too layered for me.
Okay.
A little bit, like, I just think it kind of feels like sometimes maybe there's, like, I mean, I can't pinpoint anything and be like, hey, we need to pull that out or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, with some bands, I'm like, oh, that keyboard needs to go. you know, or that bass line sucks, get rid of that, you know?
Right.
You know, or whatever, or the guitar is, like, you know, doing too much or whatever. I felt like the songwriting was really, really good.
Yeah.
Then,
well, it's funny because, to me, they seemed so cohesive as a unit. Like, you can tell they all were in a room writing this together. You know what I mean? And they tried so many different ideas out. You can tell, to me, this album screams they took chances in it, and they went down avenues they weren't normally familiar with.
Hello? Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, I think some of the cohesiveness comes because you got, what, two sets of brothers?
Yeah.
In the band, who obviously are really close, and then you have a singer, songwriter.
Well, you know, for me, I think High Violet has solid lyrics. I think the lead singer always has solid lyrics for a pop rock band. When you match that with some solid guitar playing, the style of drumming that they have, which I don't think is my favorite style of drumming, I think he works perfectly for the National. But if you are in any other band, or I don't know if I'd be into it. It fits this perfectly. They're so specific to each other. To me, they just scream that they worked on a long time with everybody. Everyone having a say in what they want to do. Because the drummer is doing all kinds of crazy stuff all the time, and the guitars are sometimes not always there. Sometimes they're, you know, you hear them replaced with piano or whatever. And
right.
I don't know. I just love how it's just a great progression from what they were doing. Andy, we haven't heard from you. What do you think, buddy?
I love this album. The thing about the National, to me, my favorite is still Alligator. I like that it was more aggressive. Since then, it seems like each album they get more monotone.
Right.
Like the way you talked, I'm kind of surprised you feel this strongly with the things you said about Beach House. Because yes, it's more aggressive, but still the songs all have a very similar sound. And
see, I would disagree. The tempo changes are all the tempos are all over the place.
There's no fast song on the album.
I think Blood Buzz Ohio is definitely a more up tempo song.
It gets there, you know, like most of the songs get there by the end of the, you know, they have their whole build thing they do with almost every song. The thing, this is the only reason I kept them out of my top five. I'm punishing them because I'm very fearful that this band is going to become irrelevant if they don't change something up.
See, it's funny because what you love about the girl from Beach House is why I love the guy from the National. But I also think that he's a great lyricist, too.
Oh, he's good. Everything about this album is good, and they're good. There's no question. But right. I was a little, like, I think this has some of the best songs of the year. England
yes.
is so beautiful, and then...
Go ahead.
Sorry. What?
I was going to say, Vanderlau, Crybaby yes. Geeks is probably it's amazing. It's my second favorite song next to Power by Kanye West. It's fucking flawless, I think.
It's beautiful. The production is very warm. But the thing is with them, I'd rather it be a little more raw. You know, that's the thing that Alligator, it had that rawness. So they could have a really beautiful song, and then they could have a song with the screaming and the just more of a raw everything, a raw sound.
I love Alligator.
Yeah, that album, that's one of my favorite albums for sure, the decade right there. I don't think they've come there. I think Boxer is very good, and this is very good. I like this one a little bit more than Boxer, but they're both very good. It seems like they're getting a little too adult or something. That scares me. But it's still, it's totally beautiful. It's amazing. It's great.
Ryan, go ahead. Did you want to add anything?
Well, I mean, the singer is getting older, and he has kids and stuff now. He's married.
You have to fight against that, though. You got to fight against that shit. Can't let that happen.
Andy, that was awesome.
Coming from a guy who's married and has kids.
Exactly, yes. I need to go start being a Dillinger Escape Plan band now.
Just keep it real, man. Keep it alive.
Well, Ryan, what are some of your favorite songs off the album?
I can't even pick songs off the album because the whole thing to me was just like in awe almost.
It's a solid, it's like the whole thing is so solid. Again, and this is just me, but I think every song is different. It's not the same thing over and over again. So it puts me in one spot and then puts me down in another spot where I'm either I'm happy or I'm sad or I'm jealous or it gets me moody, but it's not the same mood. It's all over the place. It invokes what's the word I'm looking for? I feel regret sometimes when I listen to it. It invokes so many emotions out of me that I can't even explain it. It's really, really weird. And The National usually makes me just, in the other albums past, make me think, oh, this is a great album, and I enjoy it. But this album, for some reason, invokes a emotion out of me that I'm not used to.
It has some glorious feelings.
Yes.
It has some glorious moments. And the lyrics, especially in England, the lyrics there, he's got that thing where it's kind of mysterious and funny at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's good, no doubt.
Like, Conversation 16, where he talks about...
I was just going to say that.
Go ahead, Ryan, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Conversation 16 is hilarious, but it's also amazing! Because the drums, and when he sings the line, I was afraid I'd eat your brains, and then the drums kind of roll, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then, oh my god, and then everyone comes in. Their dynamics are great on this album. That's why it's probably my third favorite album of the year. The one thing about the song I didn't like was Runaway. That was the only song.
Really? I like that song.
See, so many people like it. I could not get into it.
It's not one of my favorite songs on the album, but I feel like it fits on the album. And
I don't think it fits at all.
It's just because of the tempo.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's so slow, and everything's got a good groove to it. And again, I like diversity in albums, but to me, it's so just boring. It's like one of the worst songs they've ever written, I think. Honestly.
No way.
It's so repetitive. There's nothing interesting about it at all. The drummer's not even present. It's bland. It's the most bland song they've ever written, by far.
I think they had some more bland songs than that on Boxer.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think Boxer...
Boxer's good, but...
Well, Boxer suffers from the same thing I talked about with Beach House, where it's kind of the same tempo and the same thing throughout the whole album, which is fine, true. But it, you know, but with High Violet, it's all over the place. To me, I think they could have done something more interesting with Runaway. It's just so bland. But that's the only blemish I could say on this album, honestly.
There you go.
The only that and having Stoop on Stevens on your...
Agreed.
So, Ryan, you pick a song. What song do you want to demonstrate for us?
I want to do Conversation 16, because it's probably one of my favorite songs on the album, for sure.
Word. That would have been mine, and I'm going to do Lemon World.
That's a good one, too.
I was afraid I'd eat your brains. I was afraid I'd eat your nothing to me. I gave my heart to the army. The only sentimental thing I could think of is cousins and cousins somewhere overseas. But it'll take a bit of war to kill a college man like me. I'm too tired to drive anyway right now. Do you care if I stay? You can put on your bathing suits and I'll try to find something on this thing that means nothing and I'm losing my breath.
Okay, so are we on the pinnacle?
Number one.
I need some kind of drum roll, because someone didn't give me a drum roll. Andy, you do it. You're good at this. The album we all agreed on, the only album we all agreed on is the infamous Arcade Fire, The Suburb.
So I waited in line, I'm not a man, and I think about it.
You know, the first thing I would say about this, I've been surprised how many lists I've seen without this even on there.
That baffles me.
Those are people that don't know anything about music.
Well, I think they're people that are reacting against Arcade Fire's popularity, probably.
But it makes no sense because this album's a fucking classic.
Here's the one thing I want to say about the album is, to me, it's a major culture. I don't think it had very much impact, but I think in like the music scene and in music culture, it's just so amazing.
Right.
And I think it'll just kind of be like, to a certain extent, like a cult classic, you know?
It's funny you say that, Ryan, because that's the best example I've seen. It's not culturally impacting in mainstream media.
Right, exactly. Whereas, like, in mainstream music, it's like, it didn't even make a dent.
Well, it was number one when it came out on the Billboard, even. Billboard charts. Right.
Yeah, but that didn't
really... it's not on radio, TV, and all that.
It baffles me, because I view this as, like, one of the best albums to come out in the last 15 years. And it has, like you said, no radio play. MTV's not...
It should not even be spoken.
Yeah, it's...
TV? There's no music on there. It's not MTV anymore.
But think about it, guys.
It's real TV.
This album, if it was put out 10, 15 years ago, it'd have more exposure, probably, than it has been.
I'm not sure about that, though.
See, I think it speaks volumes about today's society and how the media is and how you get your music out there right now than anything. Because Arcade Fire, this is an album a lot of people love. And again, it was number one on the Billboard. But the thing is, it didn't stay there because there's no one wants to promote it. Because it's not a commercially, beautiful album. It's a harsh album, and it has beauty on it, but it doesn't have the songs where people are going to be able to sing along to. And then back in the mid 90s, look at Siamese Dream, by Smashing Pumpkins. No one would have thought that would be a popular album, but it was. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, the thing about that is, this is the thing, like, okay, I grew up in the 90s, like that time. But now the bands that I love the most from the 90s, I didn't listen to in the 90s. I didn't know. I didn't know about Low in the 90s. I didn't know about them until the very end of the 90s. I didn't know about Cocteau Twins, although they were 80s, 90s, but I didn't know about them until the end of the 90s. And Neutral Milk Hotel. I didn't hear about them until, later in the 2000s. I don't think that this Arcade Fire album, I don't think even then, if you look at Siamese Dream and all those albums, it's still guitar rock.
Right.
People got into guitar rock and all different types of bands. They weren't into this type of thing. I still don't think this kind of music, I think the only period that this kind of music could really be famous was in the 60s.
Yep.
Go ahead, Ryan. What were you going to say?
No, I agree. I would compare this to like a Beatles album in that they're more experimental stuff, where there's like tons of instrumentation but it's still pop, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I felt about this album. There's so many dynamics on the album, which isn't, in like pop music and pop culture music now, it's like everything is just like EQ'd all the heck and like compressed massively and the gain turned up as much as possible so it'll be as loud as possible, but it's always the exact same volume.
Right.
Whereas this was like, the whole thing was recorded analog. They mastered it onto a record.
Which is awesome.
And then they made a copy of that record, and then they put it on CD.
It sounds beautiful. It is. I was telling Andy that earlier this year that this is the best mixed album of the year by far. It's so perfect. The guitars are in your face. Everything is put in its place so beautifully. I don't think you could mix it any better, honestly. And I guess to me, it just baffles me that people don't promote this album more, like the radio or the MTV. Because to me, there is definitely pop on it. There are singles on this album besides just like the punk rock song, Month of May. City of No Children, maybe have a radio edit like they used to do back in the day and edit a little bit, you have yourself a single people could be really into.
If you think about it, though, they have done the things that you, that a popular band does. They play the festivals, and they were on Saturday Night Live like a month ago. And that's still, that's what, you know, so they still, they have that, you know, and they played, well, on Saturday Night Live, they played We Used to Wait and Sprawl 2.
Right.
Sprawl 2, bless them for making that song, like, a different song, like, than they've done in the past, no, totally. For sure.
That's,
what,
that's the one with the girl singing, right?
Yeah, that's the full pop song.
I love that song.
The thing about the song, though, is that the lyrics, it's the perfect end to the album.
Yes.
I mean, you could do a whole podcast just on the lyrics to this album.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you know? Easily.
Yeah, I had to, I reviewed this for a Mexican blog that I'm a part of. So, like, when I got the album, I was listening, I listened to it, like, walking all around, like, in Mexico, like, all over this town, just, like, listening to it. Like, I listened to it, like, 3 or 4 times in 2 days, like, all straight through. It's weird, because I don't feel as connected to it right now as I do when it came out, because I was listening to it so much. But it's so, it's so beautiful, and
it's so,
the lyric ideas are really nice. Like, there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of good thoughts in all the lyrics. There's, it goes in a lot of directions, not just the suburbs. Like, that opens the door to all types of themes.
The difference between this and The National for me is the lead singer writes everything, and he puts everything in the right order. I mean, there's not a lot of collaboration, which I think it's funny because you put The National and the Arcade Fire albums side by side, you see one example of a band in their element of these are five guys playing music together, and this is what they come out with. Whereas you have one guy and a couple other people, but it's mainly one guy on the Arcade Fire, and he pretty much orchestrates this whole album that is just a masterpiece. I love both ideas. It's funny because I would love to be in a band where it's like my tightest bros making a great album. And I also would love to be a person who orchestrates a great album, just, you know, almost single-handedly. I'm sure you had lots of help, but I mean, you know that what's the lead singer's name, Andy?
Wynn Butler.
You know Butler just probably orchestrated everything.
Almost. Well, he didn't do the orchestration.
Well, not orchestration, but when I say I say orchestrate, I mean like the guitars and drums and.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think
I know he played bass.
No, he plays lots of the instruments, but as far as the writing, I'm sure that his wife is really involved, and brother, and who knows exactly how it works as far as like with the songwriting. From what I understand, they write a lot together.
I'm sure he brings a lot of the ideas together. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm sure he brings songs in and they all work on together. But to me, I think it seems to me more of a vision of a very few people, whereas you compare it to like The National, who it's like everyone's one vision. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I love We Used to Wait. That's probably one of my favorite songs of the year as well. You know, that song is amazing. Ryan, what are some of your favorite songs off the album?
Man. Let's see. No. Empty Room. You know, with Owen Pallett's strings on it, just so good.
Yeah.
In the intro, it's just like it's all strings, and then the band just like comes in, like just rocking. And I don't know. I love that. Let's see. What else was I really into?
I'll say this right now. The first three songs, I think, are almost flawless. When you go from The Suburbs, Ready to Start, and Modern Man, it's amazing.
Modern Man is a real nice change for them. It's one of the lightest songs I think they've ever written musically.
Why isn't that out? Is that a single, Andy? Tell me it's a single.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Why isn't that song on the radio right now?
They could play the crap out of it on classic rock stations.
This is totally like Neil Young meets, you know,
Depeche. New wave band.
Yeah,
something.
New wave, exactly. And especially Ready to Start. Ready to Start to me, it sounds like Depeche Mode and Neil Young.
Yeah,
like, it almost like Neil Young being backed up by Depeche Mode. Exactly.
When these songs came out, did you guys hear them when they leaked the first few songs in blogs? You guys didn't hear? Okay. Like the songs that came out first were The Suburbs and Month of May. And then I'm sorry. Yeah, right. What's the first song? Is it called The Suburbs?
Yeah. The Suburbs and the Month of May. Probably they're so opposites.
Yeah, and then after that, Ready to Start. And We Used to Wait. So when I heard The Suburbs, I was like, okay, you know. And then when I heard Month of May, I was like, okay, again, like, this is cool. And then when I heard Ready to Start and We Used to Wait, I was like, oh, getting really excited. And I think it's funny because when I hear the album now, Month of May, when I heard it as a single, it didn't really do much for me.
No, it doesn't. It's right? Sad. It's really sad they made that a single.
But in the album,
it's great.
It's placed perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a tension release.
Yes.
In the album. I felt like I remember walking, listened to it, and all of a sudden that song came on. And I just started to, like, you know, want to, like, run, you know, and, like, break stuff, you know?
I don't even understand what these people, what Merge Records was thinking, or whoever's in charge of getting their stuff out on the radio or whatever.
They don't do that. Those labels, they don't do that. They don't even. There's payola. The radio does payola.
Yeah, they have since like the 60s. Yeah, but now it's pretty much legal at this point.
Yeah, and now it's all Clear Channel. It's impossible. There's no reason to even try to go on the radio. And bands like Merge and Matador and all these labels, they don't have the extra money that you have to do.
No way. Hey. Yeah. It costs so much
money.
They
don't do it. But it's, they don't need it. They don't need it. I mean,
I know they don't need it.
They're the world and they're famous everywhere.
But what's sad, Andy, is the fact that we grew up in an alternative or whatever you want to call it, you know, underground rock music was given a chance to shine. And it's fucking sad to me that bands at the Arcade Fire put out a superb, amazing masterpiece in the suburbs. And no one's, you know, and there's people, kids out there who will be maybe open to this if they heard it, but they will never hear it because fucking Clear Channel and all that bullshit controls it. And they might be really moved by something like this, but they won't hear it because there's no one's going to play it. And
it's
like, these songs are there. I mean, these are songs that I think that I could play for my mom. Honestly, my mom likes all kinds of rock music. She would, I think, really like this album.
Sure.
And for, you know, not the whole thing, but like songs like Modern Man, like I said, City with No Children, The Suburbs, Sprawl 2. I mean, she would like those songs. Those are songs you could probably play on the radio and people, and it would get some attention. Who knows? Maybe become a number one hit. We don't know. But it's just fucking a travesty.
Well, all that rock radio is going to play is like
new metal.
Well, now they play, I don't even
the, the, you know, new Disturbed album, the new, like, Linkin Park album.
They'll play like Maroon 5 and Kings of Leon or something.
Leon, the worst band ever.
Ryan, you listen to the radio more than anyone, I think. I mean, not to be insult. I'm not trying to insult you, but like
I haven't been much lately, but
you do more than most of us. Between the
yeah.
What do they play mostly?
I'm kind of all over on the radio dial.
Okay.
So on most of the, you know, hard rock station in Seattle, they don't really play that much new music.
When you go to Seattle now and you turn on The End, you know, 107.7.
Yeah.
Which when I was in high school, you know, played somewhat. I mean, yeah, I heard Sonic. They would play Sonic Youth and they played stuff like
Mark
that.
Collins,
sure.
The host, he would play what he wanted for the most part within reason, and it had a lot more freedom. In fact, people said that I read somewhere that station would dictate alternative rock music for like at least like 5 years, like what people would listen to on alternative rock stations in other cities.
And now it's, you turn that station on, it's so depressing. It's, you turn it on and it's like they froze in time. Like every time I turn it on, they have Sublime on. And then they play like every song from Nevermind, you know?
Yeah.
You turn it on and In Bloom's on. You turn it on later and Come As You Are is on. And it's just like,
it is frozen in time, but they do play a lot of, you know, new stuff too, but it's usually not that good.
Like what bands do they play now on the radio, on mainstream alternative radio?
Play Kings of Leon.
Ugh.
They were playing the crap out of the last MGMT album. Not this one that just came out, but the one before that.
Oh. Yeah, right.
I mean, it was like, I swear, every time I turned the End on, they were playing one of the song off of that album. They played, stuff that came out this year, they don't play a lot.
Why?
They play stuff that came out. Yeah, I mean, they play stuff that came out like last year. Like, no, they had an Offspring song on there a bunch for a while.
Ugh. Come on. What?
This is a good song. well, it was about the Iraq War. I just thought it was a cool song. Kind of like an anti-war song.
All right, well, make sure we're not going too far off this, you know, diversion.
Okay, one thing I want to mention about the Arcade Fire. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Google released an interactive music video.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
See that?
What is it?
Yeah, I saw it.
TheWildernessTown.com. Oh, sorry, TheWildernessDowntown.com. It's awesome. You put in your address of like where you grew up, and it plays "We Used to Wait" to like a bunch of like, Google Earth shots, and yeah. What is it called when the Google drives those cars around? Street View. So it's just like a bunch of those shots, and like I put my address in, small town Snohomish and in Washington, and there wasn't, and I lived on like this dead end gravel road, that like finally did get paved, but it was one of the last gravel roads in the town. So there was like nothing right by my house, but there was a bunch of stuff, like where I used to walk to go to school and stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome. And one thing I wanted to ask you guys, were you guys taken back that it's 16 tracks long? I always shudder at that stuff. I'm always going to assume it's going to have some like crappy, filler songs here and there. That didn't happen on this album for me at all. I liked every single song.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess 16 songs doesn't scare me because I listened to so many punk albums growing up that had like 25 songs. Sure, maybe they're only a minute 30 each, but the track numbers are like so high that you're just like, oh yeah, cool, 21 songs, whatever.
Andy?
The fact that it was Arcade Fire, they basically have shown to this point that they're worthy of being trusted. And so I was like, great, 16 Arcade Fire songs. I'm down. And yeah, I thought it was great. There's certainly highs and lows on the album. It's not all great, but I wouldn't say like, oh, they should have kept the song off,
All right. Well, how about this? I'll end with this. And I already said I think it's a masterpiece. Ryan, you consider this a masterpiece, like one of the best albums in the last 10 years?
I would say that it's probably one of the only albums that came out this year that people will still be listening to and loving in 10 years.
Okay. But you don't think it's a masterpiece?
I don't think anything's a masterpiece.
All right. You tell me I'm a hater.
No, what's a masterpiece to one person isn't to another person, so I don't really like saying.
Okay, fair enough.
Whether something is the same thing with genius, I mean, people like throw around like Kanye West is a music genius, and I'm like,
he says that about himself mostly.
Right. True. But I just don't like throwing those words around lightly, so.
Respectable. Andy, do you consider this a masterpiece? Obviously not, because Beach House is before it.
Well, no. They're two different albums. Totally different purposes.
Right.
The Arcade Fire album and the Kanye West album, I think, are the most ambitious albums that were great. And they certainly, to say an album is a masterpiece, yeah, I think you have to wait 5 years at least, 10 years to say. Right. I mean, yeah. We should be asking if Funeral is a masterpiece, you know what I mean? This has the potential, along with the Kanye West, to be a masterpiece. We could look back on it as a masterpiece.
So when we do another one in 5 years, in about 2015, we'll be like, so we're going to go back to that Arcade Fire. We're going to say, whatever.
Thanks to everyone who has downloaded the LTE podcast and listened to it. We probably won't have a new one up here for a while because I just put out 4 episodes. So you probably won't get a new one until the end of the month, but that's fine too. So anyway, send us email questions, information at ltbmusicblog@gmail.com, and see you later.